be able to come up with the way that they have shared the song this morning. Our topic today actually is about stewardship of time. You know, the Bible put a big emphasis on time management. There are many passages in the scriptures that tells us there was a time when the Lord Jesus Christ says to his disciples, "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night will be coming when no one can no longer work." There was a time when Apostle Paul was trying to exhort the believers in Colossae when he says, "Walk in wisdom towards others, making the best use of your time." One of the writers of the book of Psalms, Ethan, his name was, as we all know, it's not all David's Psalms that the book of Psalms has. And he says, "Remember how short your time is on the planet Earth." And then in our text, please turn back your Bibles to our text this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 16. That is our main text. It tells us, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but be wise, making the best of your time, because the days are evil." The question then is, or the practical challenge to all of us, is that how can we make the best of the time that the Lord has given to you and to me? Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you have for us to look at this morning. It is your appointed time that this morning we shall be studying about time management. Thank you for the examples from your very own word in the Old Testament as well as in the New. But most of all, thank you for the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you will help us this morning to take in the things that you want us not only to know, but you want us to apply in our lives as your people. Please help your servant to be able to speak for you and for you alone. May the Spirit work wonderfully to all of us today. Not only today, but throughout the week. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. In the bulletin, or the first point, it says that, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise," on verse 15. But first of all, I think it is good for us to turn our Bibles back to the very first chapter of Genesis. Chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Take a look closely on verses 3 to 5. Verses 3 to 5. "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning. It was the very first day." You know, oftentimes we look at these verses and there is always the tendency for us to focus more on the light, that we miss the bigger picture or the greater picture. In all fairness, light has its importance in creation. God commanded light to shine out of darkness to establish time. Now, in the process of the creation of time on the very first day, we find great doctrines. We would find the wonderful attributes of God. Number one, when God created time, it tells us that God is eternal because God was there before the creation of time. Now, in relation to that, since God was there before, it also tells us that God was all present in eternity past, and what is now and in eternity future. And as it is, Genesis chapter 1 tells us that God is the creator. And as such, He is powerful considering the vastness and the complexity of creation. And this tells us also the omnipotence of God, that He is all-powerful. Now, furthermore, when God created time, it means that He also has plan and purposes. He won't create time for nothing. And that tells us the other attributes of God, that He is God that knows everything. So we see the all-present God, we see the all-powerful God, and we see the all-knowing God on the very first five verses of Genesis chapter 1. We see the full essence of God as implied in the creation of time alone. At the end of 6 days of creation, God saw that everything that He had made, and He says, indeed, it was very good. That's what He says. Now, in addition to that, the Bible says that God created everything beautiful in His time. And that is also a song. I think it is our closing song in the end. And then on the seventh day, He created two more things. He created the Sabbath, and then He created the importance of rest. Although it tells more of the completion. But the latter, the rest, tells us that there is time for every activity on this earth. Because God has a plan. That's why in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's a season for everything. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. There is a time to plant. There is a time to harvest. There is a time to weep. There is a time to laugh. There is a time to embrace, and there is the time to let go. There is a time to keep silence, and there is also the time to speak. There was also time for war, but there is also time for peace. King Solomon is teaching that all the events or activities of life as illustrated in verses 2 to 8 have their proper timage. Some of those things can only happen once. The other things will happen multiple times in your life. There is also one physical birth. The other birth that is possibility is the spiritual birth. You know, there are many things in life that you can only do once. And if you missed it, it's just too bad. The important thing is for us to recognize that God ordained everything. All of these various events in our lives. That we are to take the time to do what is necessary for the moment. We don't really live for the moment, but we are to know the priority of the moment. That's why the verse says we are to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. You know, in other translation, it says that, or this particular verse does tell us that we are to use the time wisely. May I invite everyone to turn your Bibles to Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5. I think it is good for us to look at this particular passage of Scripture in Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5. You know, if you and I know that we only have few days to live, we would use our time wisely. Lord, make me to know my end. That is the prayer or the query of King David. What is the measure of my days that I may know how frail I am? Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor. It is a mist. That is a prayer request from God when David was saying that, God, please help me to use my time on planet Earth to live wisely and to make a difference wisely in total dependence on you, that I may be able to enjoy full life, even though it is for a brief period of time. The Bible says that at this point in time, the expectancy, and even in Canada where we live, is between the age of 70 to 80. But the Bible says 70 and after that are bonuses of life. It doesn't tell us that we will all get the bonus years. Praise God if we will have the bonus years. I'm sure you and I would like to go to bonus years. And as we pray, we hope that we don't have to take so much medications too. You know, it's hard to stay on the planet Earth when your medication is like, there's segments, you know, there's vitamins, there's for the heart, there's for the diabetes, and all of those things. You know, Moses captured a similar philosophy in Psalm chapter 90, verse 12, when he says, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. In New English translation, it is rendered in this manner. Teach us to consider our mortality so that we might live wisely. And that is the essence of verse 15 of chapter 5, the book of Ephesians. It is the prayer of Moses for the practical outcome of his meditation. You know that in this brief time, he would be able to live what is right and what is proper. When you are to value the time that God allows you to have. You know, I was trying to meditate, not only because it is related to our text, but in my meditation, I realized that the last 36 years of my life gone by just like that. And I was telling to myself, if I am to live up to age 72, I already have spent 3/4 of 72. Now you can divide 72 by 4 and then you actually know what my age is at this point in time. But my point is this. If all of us is going as far as 72, those who are not 72 yet, as some of us are beyond 72, how much is left for you? And what are you doing about it? What are your plans about it? And that is the question. To some of you, you have 60 more years because you're only 12 years old. But to some of you, if you are 69, you only have 3. And all of these times you're thinking that, no, I'm going to be 92. How would you know that you will be 92? How would you know that you're going to have another week? So that is why it is important for us, knowing that we have no control of the time that the Lord will give to you and to me, the things that you know it is important to God, what are you doing right now? I am amazed by the young people when they do their ministry. Not only that I could see the grace of God, but I could see the time that God allowed them to be able to serve the Lord. And there's a lot of young people in our church who have come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ when they were young, like 10, 8, 12. Can you imagine? If they are to live 72 years, they have 60 years of ministry. Imagine that. 60 years of ministry. But to some of you, you have come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The question is, what have you done? But never mind that it's all gone. There are time elements that the yesterday is gone. We can't go there anymore. But what is now is what the Lord is telling you. Let's use the remaining time of our lives and live wisely. You know, if we have wrong focus, we have wrong priority, if we have wrong usage of time, that means it is unwise life, unproductive life, and it is a waste of life. We cannot afford to waste time because time is gold, as they say. It is precious. Anything missed, if it is redeemable, let us redeem. That is verse 16 in our text. It tells us redeeming the time because the days are evil. It is not only that the days are short, it is also that days are evil. To redeem the time is also a literal, actually it is literally meant to buy up time. Make the most of the time that is there. It is the concept in the Bible that means to convert time into a valuable end. To recover to what was wasted. And there is time when there is this opportunity for you to redeem the time. The days of life, battles with the time that never comes back. And at the same time, we battle against the enemy. It is not only the time that we battle, it is also the enemy that wants us to be unproductive. In Ephesians chapter 6, we see that our battle is not that we could see. It is not against flesh and blood. It is against principalities, which tells us that our battle really is against the enemy, which is the devil. It is not only time, it is also the devil. And the devil wants us to be unproductive and to waste the time that the Lord has given us. I do not suppose, and I have no capacity to know, that everybody in this congregation have personal relationship with God. There are many times in the Bible when God says, today is the day of salvation for you. The Bible says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Call upon the Lord while he is near, because when he comes back, he will not come as a savior. He will come as a ruler. There is no more time for you. So I hope that you will make sure that you come to your senses, that there is God who loves you, that there is God who wants you to come to him in repentance, acknowledging your sinfulness, believing that Jesus Christ came, he died and he rose again to give you salvation, that he alone, God can only accept you through the blood of Christ. And then you are to confess your sin, you are to ask for the forgiveness. You can never have forgiveness unless you ask for it. You can never have salvation unless you ask for it. You can never possess it. That's why you have to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. But then after that, salvation begins. And that's greater accountability. That's why time is important. And as for you, for those who say that you are a believer, let us now continue in the process of our spiritual walk with God. Let us not grow weary, as apostles say, for doing what is right and for doing what is good, while there is opportunity. The Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew chapter 5, let your light so shine before men, so that they may bring what? Bring others to Christ and ultimately bring glory to the Father who is in heaven. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 10 says, let us not stop in meeting together, as there is opportunity, because there is one day when Jesus Christ will come again. At this point in time, I'd like to share with you the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when he was on planet Earth, he maintained a balanced life in worship, in prayer. He spent time with his family. He spent time with his friends. He spent time in teaching others. He spent time resting. First and foremost, he guarded his devotional life. He would oftentimes come to a solitary place and he would spend a long time meditating, putting God's word and prayer, long time of prayer. That was his life. I have never done an all-night praying. And a lot of people is that they start praying. But you know, you could all do all-night praying. You start praying and then you sleep. When you wake up, you say, in Jesus' name. That was all-night praying in a bad sense. A lot of times when Jesus Christ is supposed to do a great ministry, big ministry, you know what he does? He makes sure that he pray long prayers. Can you imagine? The God whom we serve, the Savior whom we have, who is powerful, he knows everything. He would spend time with the Father and prayer, because the following day he will make great ministries. But sometimes there is the tendency for us, when we are busy, we forget to what? Especially when you are hungry. You sit down, you took in a couple of spoonful of food, and then you realize, oops. That cannot be the case. You know, there was also time for the Lord Jesus Christ to equip others. Why did I say this? This is a very, very important element of our lives. You know what the problem was in the book of Judges? The book of Judges in the Old Testament happens because there was no training. There was no discipling. There was no mentoring. There was Moses. Who goes after Moses? Joshua? And then Joshua, in the book of Joshua, he was able to disciple others. But after the others, what happened? They have forgotten God. That's why they have judges. The book of Judges is the time where they are in big trouble. Why am I saying this? You know, you are here for a purpose. If you are not, at this point in time, cannot disciple someone, and that means that you need to be discipled while there is still time. Because one of these days, we will face God and say, what have you done? You know, going to church is good, but it is not it. Giving your resources to God is good, but it is not it. If we want the next generation to be as blooming as you are, or as it is today, if we will not spend time and equipping others, we may have the same situation come 25 years from now, just like the book of Judges. You know, they follow God, they disobey God, they're down again, they repent, they go up again. It's just a cycle. That's what book of Judges is. We don't want that to happen to First Filipino Baptist Church. And we don't want that to happen to you and to me. In closing, let me give you some practical application also, in addition to what I already said. As an individual, as a church, you know, sometimes I ask myself, you know, when you stand up here, and when the choir is here, they would know that our church today is not full. You can say it is half full or half empty. Now, I'm not saying that we are missing people, but it seems like we are like that. Now, what do we do? Well, it is time for you and for me to encourage other people we do not see, and also to invite other people. That's one. Number two, we are in need of great people who would be part of the service in the ministry. Great need, great need. And one of the great need is people who are come here, especially on the midweek, to pray together. You know, if there's one thing that I would like you to pray, and this is a great encouragement and at the same time challenge to you, I'm not saying that you come here every week, but I'm just asking that even this afternoon there's a prayer rally. What is 2 hours of your time? After the prayer rally, there's enough time for you to make your dinner and prepare for the basketball game tonight. No, seriously. And for those of you who have time on Wednesday, doesn't have to be every Wednesday, but come on Wednesday. My prayer is that every Wednesday we would have reached 50 people on Wednesday. We are consistently from 30 to 40. But seldomly that we have reached number 50. So which means that there's probably 17% of us who come together. But my encouragement for you is to please join us as time allows, because I know some of you are working and you can come. But if you are not working, please come. Doesn't have to be every week. And even this afternoon. You know, I would say this, and I will be bold on this, and it's somewhat a risk for me to say, but I say it again anyway. You know what hurts sometimes for me as a pastor of this church? It is time for service and people are so, I'll just come in with the praise time. And there's this Sunday school time and say, it's okay. I know that already. I know half of it. And, you know, so relaxed, especially the summertime. There's a nice bench outside, have fellowship outside. There's nothing wrong with fellowship. But the thing is, there's wonderful thing going on in here. And the hardest one for me to see, it's 2 o'clock and it's a prayer meeting. It is 2:30. And because the parking there is expiring at 2, down we go. Life of the church. There's less time for us. We won't be staying here for long. But let's pray together. That's one thing that I really would like to emphasize for you. I have many more to say, but the Lord led me to just bring that to you, because that is the greatest need of our church. People who would come together and pray. Prayer becomes a great revival element, and it is. So I hope that you and I will grow in this area.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to once again look at the importance of time management. Lord, we thank you because we are here on earth, that you have given us the opportunity, first and foremost, to know you and to experience your goodness and your greatness. But help us to live wisely. Help us to look at the opportunity as something that is quite important, because some of them may never come back. Help us to be mindful of the great opportunity that we have right here in our church. Lord, I pray that you will help your people, all of us as church and as individuals, to take a self-examination and really ask your blessing, that we may be good stewards of your time. In Jesus' name.